Morning, we have the resumption of the Golden Morning Satsang series with Pujya Deepak Bhai. Yesterday was a tele satsang. Today is December 31st of 2009, the last day of the year. As Deepak Bhai enters and goes in front of the Lord, the special Simandar Swami, that he was his own now, which has been kept here, Simandar Swami's murti. Oh gosh, excuse me, somebody is getting this.
Yes. Apne badai pachad rahe hai badai pachad rahe ho badai pachad jao
પહેલા એમને સુડાવી દો, પહેલા લાઈક કરાવી દો. શું થયું છે? શી ઇઝ મૂવિંગ રાઈટ, શી જસ્ટ નીડ્સ ટુ લાઈ ફ્લેટ,
શી
ઇઝ સિટિંગ અપ, બસ લેટ હર લાઈ ડાઉન ફર્સ્ટ, લેટ હર લાઈ ડાઉન. આઈ ડોન્ટ થિંક શી ઇઝ અ સ્ટ્રોક, આઈ ડોન્ટ થિંક સો. ઓકે, યુ વિલ મેનેજ, લેટ મી નો. યસ, લેટ હર લાઈ ડાઉન. Deepak Bhai is going in front of Pujas, Padmavati Devi, the goddess. They are called the celestial beings who are enlightened and who are in the celestial realms. Ma Padmavati Devi, she is the protector of the one in the, of everyone in the path of liberation. She is now being invoked as Deepak Bhai moves over to my goddess Amba, to the far left of the stage, and bows down to the Lue goddess. Now as the Gnani turns and looks at all of us, and asks, so raise you, when he looks in our direction, please raise your arms, because then he recognizes it. You can just do clap with your hands above. Okay, thank you. So Jai Sachidanand, now he is engaging, sitting up. Eternal is bliss. Jai Sachidanand. Yes, I just... chair a little bit to the left so I can see him, just a little to the left. Yes, okay. Yes, that's good, that's fine. Okay, the Golden Morning Satsang series are advanced level questions from advanced level seekers. That's fine, you're fine. As they adjust the microphone for Deepak Bhai, we are about to resume. Beautiful morning here in Simandar City, last day of the year. Everybody looking forward to the midnight bhakti as we enter into the new year 2010, along with the Gnani. What can be better? This is the ultimate presence to enter into the new year with the fully the enlightened one and the fully enlightened one. So here we go with the satsang questions and answers. Some of the questions, if they may be a little bit more advanced, but if you don't understand, we can clear them up later on. Whatever I can cover up in terms of the giving you the surrounding base along with the translation, I will do that to you. So I may be actually giving you more than the translation. See, this is fine. Maybe giving you more than the translation, but just stay with me. And whatever concepts you don't understand, please make notes of it, and then we can discuss it later. When we meet the Pujya Deepak Bhai at 11:30, we are going to meet him at 11:30, but we go at 11:15 in front of the Gnani. We go first, hello. Visit Niruma. Hello. Jai Sachidanand. The awareness of the eternal is bliss. I bow to the Supreme Absolute Self who resides within you with a total sense of oneness and absolute obeisance and humility. Jai Sachidanand. Yes, he picks up questions. The questions are written here. People have been waiting for this morning because there has been a gap for more than a month before this. Rupesh, is there any kind of connection between circumstances and awareness? Is there any connection between circumstances in front of you and your own Jagruti, the internal awareness of the enlightenment? Yes, the circumstances are arising in front of you. However, Jagruti is your own internal independent Purushart. The external, the circumstances are dependent upon the discharging karma, and in that, the anger, greed, deceit and pride will arise in the non-self complex, and you are the aware one who is supposed to see that. If you are unaware at that time, then they will tend to move you. And so if your awareness is your Purushart, P capital, the S capital presence, SP capital presence. But when the force of the kashayas, when there is a lot of external kashayas, and so when the food arises, food that you don't like comes in front of you, you should have the awareness that this is an circumstance and you are the knower of the one who is eating. You do not have to become the one who is eating. So this is the circumstances. The Gnani is aware in circumstances, whereas the Agnani, the ignorant one, gets pushed into it and becomes the doer and the sufferer of the actions, pleasant or painful. So is there a connection between circumstances and awareness? Okay, so now he's giving a report of that lady. This is the doctor, our doctor. He is a Parthiv, and he's saying that she is just trying to tell what Parthiv talked to me. That I went there initially, there was a question of whether this lady had a stroke, but she has had some kind of GI disturbances, and then she vomited and then kind of collapsed a little bit, but she is fine. Deepak Bhai is probably going to do a little vidhi for her before moving on to the So now there are a lot of senior citizens who live here in the Simandar city, and they have decided to spend their final days here. Tell her to do Shuddhatma. Deepak Bhai is breathing, and so he asks her to do Shuddhatma Chum Vesatma Chum Shuddhatma Chum, as he does the Vidhi for her. I'm pure soul, I'm pure soul, I'm pure soul. Shuddhatma Chum Shuddhatma Chum Shuddhatma Chum, please. I'm pure soul, I'm pure soul. Hum Shuddhatma Chum 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 Shuddhatma Chum. And as it moves his arms around in a circle, that means signifies the end of the Vidhi, just before the last few seconds of the Vidhi. Jai Sat Chitana. So they're going. So an evidence. They are going to. The doctor will know what to do with her, so.
Circumstances.
Scientific. So a number of them, Jai Sachidanand, they're taking her now. They will arrange. So the carrying on with the. Still we don't have a question. And in very sticky situations, when the files arise, then the awareness is a little. You have to watch out for the awareness. It's your independent awareness that prevails over any circumstance that arises in front of you. So there is no connection otherwise between the external, the non-self complex events that arise in front of you versus your awareness. It is that when, let me give you an example, he says, the question. Supposing something happened, you can say, which is some circumstance, he says, you can say it is Vyavasit, S-C-E-N, and some other ones, this disturb you, but both are disturbing, both are there external, right? Where, but he says it is on the inner connection of anger, deceit, greed, pride, insistence, and which is the link which whereby you get shaken up and stirred up. Supposing everything is doing everything externally, is doing everything nicely, his the file one is acting well, and there is not much suffering. And then what is the connection between that? When there are pleasant circumstances, what is the connection between pleasant circumstances and inner awareness? Deepak Bhai says, no connection. You are aware that this is that currently there are pleasant circumstances, and this is the result of unfolding my merit karma effects from past life, and actually when tough difficulties and tough times arise in front of you, when there is a little clash between somebody who is very close to you, when it is unpleasant, that is when you have the ability to really say, hey, what happened? Misha, what happened? Come on, close it, you know. So therefore, when there is very when there is pleasant situations, then it is difficult to tell whether the pleasure is coming from external sources or internal sources. These are all both circumstances. You really need to be aware of the subtle distinctions, and these subtle distinctions are more easy when it is the unpleasant situations that are in front of you. He says, just because you do not are stirred up because unpleasant circumstances arise, doesn't mean that you are home free, because the kashais may be, the anger, greed, deceit, pride may be lying dormant like a snake underneath. And you know, it is only when it is stirred up by an event, that is when you know that the event is there. So therefore, So Rick, I got to figure up, if the vision is constantly internalized at what is happening to you, and what is the underlying basis of your reaction that is of an angry nature, then you will be able to be free. Yes, sometimes I like a person, sometimes I enter into rag with somebody, I recognize that I enter into a very pleasant relationship with someone, then what should I do? Then why should you say that it is happening to me? It is happening to Rupesh. It is happening to Misha, it is happening to Michael, it is happening to Nada, it is happening to Teya. So recognize it is not happening to you. You should remain in your Y capital, A capital awareness, not a worldly awareness. The worldly awareness is part of Teya. Whatever happens in front of you, it is anything that happens in front of you is the result of kashais of past life. And again, you need to look at it. They arise in front of you because it is an effect of causes from previous lives. And so it is your opportunity to look at it exactly as it is, and the underlying reasons why you created it, and thus become free from it. But at that time, the second time, you say, I got attracted. No, you didn't get attracted. In the past life, I am doing it, I like it, I hate it, and those were the causes. And again, in this life, these come as circumstances in front of you. And again, you enter into it saying that I like it and I hate it. And again, you are caught up in it, even though it is in a discharge manner. So sometimes, you know, when Misha is not happy with this, or Misha is not happy with that, then in your awareness at that time, you should say, you internally have adjusted. However, Misha does not adjust. And so then once Misha gets adjusted, then you are the aware one who is a knower of the fact that Misha has now adjusted to that other person who is simply refusing to adjust. And so that is the internal adjustment. Misha may adjust, may or may not adjust. So the event is the same. However, the ignorant one gets into a clash with it, and the one who is aware will see it exactly as it is, and be the guide and the supreme guide of Misha, of Kacha, of Teya, to deal with it with equanimity. The Gnan, G capital, is experiences to the experience of the one who has made the adjustments or the disadjustments. So supposing there is rag, but there is no worldly expectations out of it, how is that precious rag? Is that intense rag? No. He says, recognize that precious rag belongs. Remember the rag that we talked about on the trip back from Bhuj, that Indrabhuti, the Gautam Swami had for Lord Mahavir, that kind of rag, even is precious rag, very intense rag for the Gnani, your very intense love for the Gnani. Remember that such a love is that is for Nada. Nada loves Deepak Pai. It is not, and you are supposed to be aware of this particular rag, this attachment. Not, you should not become. Yes, but only, you know, how do you know that you have got gold? Only when somebody rubs it, you know, there is friction with it, and then you look at it, aha, this is gold. Yes, you now all have theory, but when it comes into your friction, when life, when it actually, you are gold, but the gold will have to be experienced. Now we need to look at adjustments. Now I says, I know that I sometimes adjust and sometimes I do not adjust, but no. You are supposed to be aware of the one who says that I adjusted and I did not adjust. Because the adjustments, whether they happened or did not happen, are known by the middleman, and you, the capital one, are aware of the one whether the adjustments happened or did not happen. So there is a middleman. So there has to be a heart. You see, the adjustments have to be through the heart. From the core of my heart, I want to adjust. You don't adjust according to your convenience. You adjust to people that you like. You don't adjust to the people that you subtly don't like and you avoid. So yes, usually you say, oh, I'm adjusting, but adjustment is a very subtle and a very beautiful thing. Adjustment is a very, very beautiful thing, and it is when you will know when you have adjusted, because there will be no vibrations of disturbance at all. Yeah, intellectual adjustments will not count. You see, those who are already sitting in the train, which is full, they say, oh, there is no space. But the one who is entering the train, he'll say, listen, where is the space? I see a space. So that is, then he will get in. He'll squeeze in into the space. And he says, so, and somebody will just, therefore, he's describing a typical situation in India. Oh, there is no space. How come you're coming in? But it's the intellect can make adjustments. Even if you enter a crowded train, you can find a place. But the people who are already seated, they will not think that there is any space, but you can see a space, and that is the correct intellect. Yes. In other words, Deepak Bhai, when he was young and he was around Dada, he would take a back seat. He would go back. He will not go to the front seat at all. He will just constantly concentrate on what Dada was saying, rather than go into the physical mode of the nearness with Dada. And Deepak Bhai was constantly aware. He says, when you become very, very absolutely crass and thick-skinned and don't care about how other people around you may be affected, then you will get obstructions over your own bliss. If you become very selfish, then you are creating obstructions over your own self. When you become selfless, and when you are more careful about how it matters for others, then your obstructions will be removed. Is there a timing in terms of merit karma versus demerit karma? Sin effects versus virtue effects. Helping others, the effects will come. Is there any certain timing? Is there a mathematics that you see? Because in life, everything is like sunrise and sunset. So it may unfold in front of you, and then it will sunrise. And it says, a very, very sticky karma that you've created in past life, very sticky, very heavy karma that have been created in the past life, they will mature at a much later time in your life. Very simple, light karmas that you've created, they mature early. That is the general rule. So, therefore, in later life, there is more suffering than in earlier portions of your life.
Mm-hmm.
So the more sticky you make, it takes longer time in terms of stickier the cause, the stickier the effect, and it comes much later. And he says one fruit comes in front of you, then another fruit comes in, whether bitter or pleasant fruit of karma arises in life, in this life. And it really doesn't matter, it just comes in front of you and it presents with you. In front of you, and this is all an exact account of previous life. Supposing this is depending. Supposing you drop a piece of mud inside a pot, then you know it will disintegrate and it will settle in its own ways. And in the pot of water, then he says, supposing you drop a thick amount of mud, then it will fall down in there and it will come to a little bit higher level. So then as you look at it in a way, then different layers of different amounts of quantities of mud will be lying in different levels, and the light one will rise up, whereas the heavy one will go to the bottom. And this is how it happens. So everything is associated with time, and that which has become like ice and formed very is ready to give fruits in last day. And so, then there is a bhav, which is intent, then there is an intent action, then there is action, and then there is action, and then there is an action intent. So there is intent action, then there is intent, there is intent intent, there is intent action, then there is action intent, and then there is intent action, and there is action intent. So there is the external in the there is an external thing and there is an internal thing. So at a very subtle level there is a causal stuff to happen, and then it comes into the so from bhav, the intent, it comes into maturity as an effect, and so even as it is coming in the effect, there is an underlying intent going on. So therefore in this life, to see anybody at fault is a very grave error. Now that you have enlightened, you cannot see anybody's fault, and if you do, you need to really clear it off, because you cannot, now you are aware, now you cannot afford to see the slightest mistake of anybody else. Nobody else is at fault at all. You see? Without, there are external events, and without an external event, a cause cannot happen. Now, we are trying to remain in the awareness of the S capital Self and make sure that there is no new cause. And whatever cause that arises in front of us as an effect, recognizes as a potential situation where a cause can be laid. However, for us, a cause is a discharging pending event. And therefore, just be very careful. Without a circumstance, no new cause arises. Next question from a lady. In 2009, Dadavani. 2009 Dadavani, the most recent one. I request you to all read. This is on speech. Actually, all the subatomic particles in this universe are all pure. But the moment you say you're stupid, you have created something that. Supposing the listener hears these words, and he has an asar, he has an effect, and therefore those subatomic. And so anybody who listens to this talk, you're stupid. Then the vibrations are received by those who have heard it. And the more clash you created, the Dada Shri says, if you enter into clash, the other person's clash will enter into you. Supposing, and this is very interesting, this is very, very, listen to, if you are in front, supposing you have to go to court, and once you know that such and such a judge is going to judge, make a judgment on you, and if you say that this judge is no good, then even if you, as you are in front of the judge by look, will have already received your negative vibrations even before you enter into his court. But if you say that, this is very clear. Dada's speech is very, very clear. Dada has given a clear-cut question and answer. What are you trying to understand? If you read this Dada one, the answers are straight. Whereas if you say that this judge is very good, as you go in front of him, his eyes, and you can see that he's adjusting to you, so you, the vibrations of negativity or the vibrations of positivity reaches the judge even before you enter his court. If you are going in front of it, and if I, so now this our purushar, says Deepak Bhai, lies into to see the pure only and not to see anything impure. The intellect will see the negativities and the positivities, whereas the pragna, the awakened self, sees the line of demarcation, and this is relative and this is real. You are not getting into the negative or the positivity at all. So the pragna, when there is there, because he said, now Deepak Bhai says, don't get into this game of converting the negative into the positive. Don't play that game. Why don't you? The five agnas makes you see the relative in the real, and you're done with the negative and the positivity. What difference does it make whether there is junk lying on one side or flowers lying on the other side? So you, of course, you have to tell Misha, remain in positivity, as doer, but you have to remain separate from Misha, saying Misha is all relative, I am real, Misha is under the control of SCE, I am the absolute self. Then what is this nine columns? The nine columns are the multiplications that have been created in the last life, are the divisions in this life. The all, you know, sexuality may arise in this life here, but the sixth column is to neutralize that sexuality for the purpose of liberation, L capital, not for the purpose of perpetuation of the worldly life. So this is how it is. The nine columns are the greatest pratikramans. Yes. Okay, so, the good, the effect of the good will come, they will be good only, the effect of the bad will come bad. But in worldly complications, what happens is, when you enter into attachment here, then it will, the negative into the positive duation, the attachment will lead to abhorrence as far as the world is concerned. But as far as Mahatmas are concerned, you need not be worried that just because you are into positivities and attachments, situations, that it is going to necessarily result in dvesh or aversion. Yes, always, you always have to tell Elisha to move in the directions of the positivity, but you yourself have to be absolutely separate from the positive and the negative and remain in the realm of the self. You see, supposing there are 30 negatives, find out the one positive and move in that direction. When your pride gets pampered, when your sense of self gets pampered, when your sense of respect gets pampered, when your hunger for greed gets pampered, your hunger for something gets pampered, then you start liking that person. And when that is not pampered, when that is not filled to your expectations, then a very subtle dislike arises within you. And your vision should be on that ego of Misha or Nada or Teya. How should I deal with the rag, the attachment with file number one? I have attachment. I like this. That I'm good. I'm good. I'm. Supposing when somebody insults you, he says, you used to believe, suppose when somebody insults you, up until now you believed, I'm so good, I'm something. At that time, this is the greatest opportunity to knock this ego down. Somebody says, you're stupid, you're no good. That is your opportunity to come down, because if you feel the hurt, that means you are riding on the high horse of the ego. When you're on the high horse of the ego, then you see these people, when people do not respect you, people do not call you, then you go into a negative mode of depression, you become upset, you don't talk to people, you go into a withdrawal mode, you do not like it, and all of these are reactions of the ego that has been hurt, and recognize that you were riding high on the high horse of the ego and self-respect and the idea that I'm something. And when therefore, you yourself are inviting the insults, people do not give a darn, people do not care, but yet you will think that they are insulting me, they don't care for me. And so this is, recognize that this is your own man, this is your own pride, this is your own wrong horse that you're sitting on. You should be sitting in the blissful self level instead of riding any horses. He says, At the moment when you see this self in the others, you will be able to separate yourself. See the self in the others. Do not see him at fault. Next one, next question from a lady. Yesterday Niruma talked about yesterday's satsang with Niruma on the Antaraya Karma, the karma of obstructions. In fact, it was day before yesterday. He says there's an internal intuitive sense that you can do certain things, like a woman can. And kuch. You know, there is a difference between understanding or vision or samaj versus gnan or experience or the knowledge. On the karmic path, they are getting the theoretical knowledge that the self is absolutely pure, it is full of energy, it is full of bliss, etc. These are all verbal words only, and therefore they keep on remembering the words only. And so then he's got this initial understanding, so he's got the verbal knowledge, and then when difficulties arise in front of him, on that basis he goes into a penance mode when he's hurt, and therefore he says, I'm pure soul, I'm not this body, and therefore he gets into an understanding, and there is a penance, and when he employs the penance, then it comes into the context. Yes, then means becomes the natural in the contact mode only, where he does not really react. So initially there is a Niruma and Dada are present here, and the subtle level. What is the nature of the subtle self? Is it what is the nature of their subtle presence here? What is the nature of the subtle presence of Dada Shri and Niruma here? It is like this. So supposing we have to ask for somebody, please grant us your liberation. And so when they were here, they promised, yes, I'll help you. And so we listened to them and said, yes, I'll take care of you. When they were here, they said, I will make sure that you become fully liberated. And then they leave. And they may have gone anywhere in the celestial realm, or they may have attained another human birth. And so you have entered into the mode of an intent that I want liberation, and they have entered into the mode of saying that I want to liberate. So these are the evidences of Vyavasthit Gonish. And so the two positive evidences of evidences of Vyavasthit come together. Whereas these celestial beings, they have million evidences. They have the fantastic ability to manipulate. So when you do something very good, you come back as a human being, or you go to the celestial being, or you go to Mahavidyakshetra, or you can go to Mahavidyakshetra and then go to Devgati, the celestial realm. All the self, there is free movement between the celestial realm and the Mahavidyakshetra. So they go back and forth. And so they are, supposing when they have got such heavy intent of Jagat Kalyan, salvation of the world in this life, then they are at the celestial realm, they can listen to every word that we are talking about right now, they can interact with it, and you can see that there was absolutely a celestial realm. There was a celestial atmosphere in Bhuj. We couldn't see it, but we could see the nature of it all. Nobody was clashing with anyone. Everybody was just moving in a very beautiful manner with each other. All the events happened so beautifully, and there was not, and nobody got any serious obstructions or any major obstructions in their agenda of wanting to get the best experience while being there. And so these celestial beings, especially those who have gone with very heavy intention that I want to behave in such a way that not a single human being be hurt through me, that intention carries so powerfully in the celestial realm, and so that carries on, and the evidences of Vyavasthit are then multiplied by X fold to the raised with the power of X, etc. And then the Dada Shri had absolutely the state of without kashais, zero elements of anger, greed, deceit, pride, ego, etc. They, such human beings, can accomplish phenomenal things. And so you have to be a superhuman being in this world, only then you can go to the celestial realm. And once you go there, you still have the cause and intents are still there that are multiplied so many, by 100,000 folds, and therefore the actions get. And so then, because yes, the interference will stop through this subtle celestial effects only. But you see, like, you know, nothing happens to the Gnanvedi. Can you imagine if four or five very odd or crazy people come and say, "What are you doing here? Get up, shut up," all these things. But there is a tremendous protection of the 33 million celestial beings in the Gnanvedi at that time. And yes, Deepak Bhai is not the doer, he is just the medium through which the words are coming out in the Gnanvedi, and the listeners are getting it exactly as it is meant to be. So you can, you know, in other words, any as the intellect, the wrong misguided intellect can take the wrong attitude and the wrong approach to these words and can really take it in the wrong way, manner completely. And so now you understand the science, the exact science of how it all happened. He says a lot of people, when they moved from Bombay or Surat or different parts, they felt like, and that they always felt that we all felt that Niruma was with us in a subtle body in our bus. And so the gentleman asks, he says, if she is here, then how can she be there? She says, no, it's a subtle body. They have tremendous avadignan. They have such siddhi. Avadignan means clairvoyance. They can tell exactly, even before it happens, they can see it exactly as it is. And in this, and so the celestial beings have these things. They know exactly even before it is. They know who is the right person here. They know who is the wrong person here. They know who is the impediment. They know who is the one who is going to be positive. And so the celestial beings have tremendous siddhis, accomplished powers. And Srimad Rajchandra, the previous Gani, and Dada Shri have both said that. They both say that without the help of the celestial beings, I would not have been able to accomplish what is now unfolding in front of us all. And Dada Shri himself says, you become pure, P capital, then your entire energies of the wanting to do salvation for the world will automatically happen. It is based on your priority and becoming absolutely free from any remnant, any trace, any subatomic particle of a kashai of anger, greed, deceit, pride, desire. And such a pure one does not want anything at all worldly, of the non-self realm at all. He does not want to have anything according to his will. He does not want any money, doesn't want any sexuality, does not want any attention, does not want any respect, nothing. Does not want anything that is worldly out of this life. And then the Siddhi, S capital, will arise within you, accomplished spiritual powers. The one who does not want anything out of this life gets tremendous inner energies. And these are the Siddhis such Siddhis will arise within such a one, that they will arise in multiple directions, in multiple ways. There's you and such, and then such people will say, this man is phenomenal, is extraordinary. Such a one has never been encountered. Such a man, such a human being is phenomenal. And so then the world will be absolutely attracted to such a person, and the world will take over his task. Yes. You see, like you know, a teacher in a high school in a village, you know, he has students who are very rich and who are students who are very poor. Now the student who is rich will say, my father has this, my father has this, please take this from my village, from my farm, please take this from my farm. But the teacher who does not take anything from the rich student and is the one who will get such an accomplished powers. He does not take special gifts from the rich student. Such a person first teacher can become an excellent teacher, whereas the teacher who starts accepting subtle gifts from his rich students will lose his ability to teach properly and to really in the same way human beings who do not take sides of one person versus the other, such a human being rises very high within his own inner energies. The one who enjoys that which is not his by his true right will go to a lower animal level. If you enjoy what is yours only, then you will become a human being, and if you give away what is really yours to others, you will become a celestial realm. And when you give away any enjoying, either it is suffering or pleasure or pain, you enter the realm of moksha or liberation. So this is the law. And it says Dada Shri has said this is beautiful, beautiful. It's a beautiful sutra. He has just recited. In the last life, all the subatomic particles that are required and attained and attracted. In this current life, I am just letting go of them and without any with ease and entering into my mode of liberation. He says, I do not want. And when the one who does not want to, one who is entering the path of L capital liberation and the path of Nirvana and the ultimate moksha, he is letting go of all the subatomic particles, everything that is there in front of him, and just letting it all go. Supposing, next question, if I stop giving hurt to others, will my obstructions will go away? And this whole line of questioning, by the way, has been going on because day before yesterday we saw a VCD of Niruma. It has been translated, it's on the web now, which was on Antarai Karma, the karma of obstructions. Why is it that what you desire does not come in front of you? You see, now in the relative level, when somebody who is very proud, in front of him you become very humble. And so, in other words, you know, you break the egoistic ego, the heavy unyielding ego with humility. Humility by becoming very, but for us, we don't need to go into it. This is whatever that had arisen because you had become engrossed in previous life, now it is coming in front of you, and at that time you remain separate through awareness. So you don't, so if it's, which you see, you recognize this is a gentleman who was one of the leaders in service leaders, and he was helping us in Bhuj. Now he says, his name is Akshes. He says, let Akshes do the service of the others and do not become engrossed with him. Supposing and if you remain separate from Akshes, then you'll be fine, because he's worried that in trying to help everybody, I end up hurting somebody because everybody expects me to help him, but it's not possible to help everybody. So, it says it's much easier. So it is easier to move from positivity towards the S capital self rather than from the negativity to the S capital self. So from the negativity, therefore, in the relative life, you have to move towards the positive, and then you have to let go of the positivity also, and then move towards the absolute self. When you stop hurting others, then this gross ego will melt. Then when you stop hurting internally also, if you have a sense that the other person is hurting you, then actually you are hurting that person. And so there is a subtle ego that's going on. The subtle hurt is still there. And when you become free from even the subtle idea that the other person is hurting me, then you are really becoming free from the subtle ego that is hurting the others. So initially you have to move from the negative to the positive, and then then fly away from both of them. Arise from both of them. Transcend both of them. I'm asking this question because I want to know. This is, what do you want to ask? And he says, what do you want? What is your question now? Okay, what is your question? Can you please tell us about your Purusharth in your last life, because you are in such a high state in this life? Can you look back in your life, past life, and give us a glimpse of what you were? What kind of a question is it? Yes. It is possible that I ate something in the last life, and therefore I am keeping it vague. What I want to know, what you ate in the last life. It is possible that what I ate yesterday, I am preparing for you today. See, I must have heard the gnani in the last life, and therefore I get it. And so it is now. So it is expressing in reality for me. So it's our mistakes are this, Deepak Bhai, that our whenever we ask you something, and then he says, you are saying that I'm not the answerer of these questions. It is just happening. But most of us, but they're all Mahatma. You have always, majority of us have never taken the straight road. You have taken the straight path of sincerity and purity. But if I want to know, most of us take the crooked path. Look, now he is projecting. He says, whatever solutions you are giving, we ourselves are very far from that. What kind of purushartha, the independent energy of the enlightened self, should we be doing in front of you? We want to know. Please tell us some. I understand, says Deepak Bhai, that. I'm coming from the path of dispassion. He says, regardless of which path I took before I attained the Gnan Vidhi and the Gnan and the five Agnas, it is independent. All of us have arrived at this location from so many different paths. But somebody may be at the 75 milestone level in a previous life. Somebody may be at the 65 milestone level. But once you attain the five Agna, all of these things don't matter. At the five Agna makes us all equal, and then with the separation of the five Agna, you can proceed with the same intensity as I can. So once you decide that I do not want to hurt anybody, that means you really need to recognize that you need to follow that with sincerity. You have to tell Michael, are you hurting anyone? You are saying something that I don't want to hurt anybody, but look, you are critically obviously hurting this person or this person. So you are not being sincere to what you're saying. And then can you do 100 pratikramans for that, because your desire is not to hurt anyone, and yet you're hurting somebody very subtly through your thoughts, speech and actions. And so can you not do this? He's looking at the ladies and says, will it be okay? Well, can you start this thing? She says, no, I do not like to do pratikraman. He did acting. He says, I cannot do pratikraman. It's just the faults keep happening. So why don't you start with 100 pratikramans a day? Can you do this? You can do only one or two pratikraman, and the people around you are getting hurt left and right through your subtle thoughts. You may not be slapping them, but your very subtle negative vibrations are reaching them, and that is the hurt. So therefore, you're like, it's like, in a bottle, it says, take this medicine 3 times a day, take this medicine 3 times a day, or shake this medicine 3 times a day. And you say, but if you keep looking at the bottle, then you're not taking the medicine, see? Anxious. You see, if I see somebody's mistakes, if I'm attracted to somebody, am I repulsed by somebody? These are all mistakes. Yes, my intellect, can be seen, and the phragna within, he says, flashes. Deepak Bhai says, it's very simple. If you suffer, if there is the slightest evidence of suffering within you, then you know that it is your mistake, and your bliss will leave, because the slightest suffering is the evidence that you are in the wrong place. You are not in Shuddhatma, you have become nada. The slightest suffering, if you are the cause of hurt to somebody else, then it is your mistake only. And if any event causes a disturbance within your silent pond, then obviously you need to revert back and recognize that you are in the wrong place. So we need to find out the exactness of where it is that you, Y capital, are standing in the self, or are you putting your foot in the pond. And then in the fourth one, so understanding the mistake is the greatest purushartha. This is, your blunder has been broken. The blunder has been broken in the Gnan Vidhi. I am Teya is the blunder. I am Michael is the blunder. That has been broken in the Gnan Vidhi. Now, the purushartha, the P capital of the enlightened one, is to break these mistakes. Through this awareness only, you will be able to break the mistakes. There is no other path. This is the purushartha of the awareness is going to make you separate. Yes, you have attained the conviction. conviction that I am pure soul, I am not Misha. But now with that awareness, you need that, that is, you need, you are convinced by 100% that I am Misha. The awareness is only 15%. From that 15%, you have to rise to the total level of the 100% experience, and you have only experience of 2%. And so by remaining in the five agnas, by employing the files with equanimity, by remaining in the more penance mode, and by remaining separate, you will rise from your awareness from 15. You will rise into this. Deepak Bhai says, Dada Sri said that whatever is actually expressing in me as the experience, E capital of the S capital, it is really the result of my last life Gnan experience. Whereas here we have just received the conviction only. So as you apply your current new knowledge into the stuff, then that such a state like Dada or Deepak Bhai will come to us eventually. And so this is... And so this is the filth, this is the ice that has become, the karma has become like ice. And in the as the evidences arise in front of you, like a person says, hey, do this, you're no good. Somebody reacts with you in a passive-aggressive manner or an openly aggressive manner. These are all cues for you to recognize that it is your own ice that is now melting, and it is unfolding in front of you. And you are not to become the owner of that. You are to remain separate. And you need to remain exactly separate from it, see it as it is, know it, recognize it, and become free. If just this only one life of such awareness is going to liberate you. If you can remain in that awareness, you shall be free, you will be free. And therefore, that is why how a woman can attain liberation. Despite being in heavy sexuality as a married person or as an interactive person with another companion, you too can attain liberation. He says, Dada Sri says that I kept on entering hurt. Dada Sri says, when I took the beating of the entire world, that is when I attained this knowledge of liberation. Whoever would beat me, not physically, but mentally or subtly or otherwise, I accepted it, I looked at the solution, I found the solution within, and I rose higher. If the woman, you know, you've seen that a woman who is angry with her husband will beat up her son. You see, why? Because she can't beat up her husband. And so she just, her aggression goes on the child. She beats up the child. And the poor child looks around and wonders what is happening. See, so this is, you see the nature of these kashayas and how they express in life. Once it's happened, the other person is actually nirdosh, he is flawless, there is nothing wrong with him, he is just a nimit that is unfolding in front of me for my own effects that I had created in the past life, that had caused in the past life. First accept the mistake, that's the number one, do not protect it, and then repent for the mistake, and then do not protect it, and then show nada in what way this is a mistake. So there are four steps. First, accept the mistake. Secondly, then show her in what ways it is bad for Nada. Number three, do serious pratikraman for it. And number four, never protect it when somebody points it out to you. This protection is the most difficult part because the ego will continue to protect it. And you should understand that if three people beat my brain up, you know, they really just give me a lot of difficulties, you know, harass my brain, then I should recognize that this brain is not mine, it is the brain of Misha that is being bothered and tempered. It is not, nobody can touch me, I am the blissful one. This, he is harassing the brain of Misha, but we say, this woman is harassing me, this man is harassing me, this man is bothering me, this person. So do not protect. If somebody is protecting, somebody is bothering Misha, then recognize that Misha is the one who is being bothered, and you are there as a supremely elevated soul, as the full as is the as the enlightened one to help Misha, say, Misha, I am there for you. Don't get bothered. So they recognize that there is no effect without a cause. And so if the effect is there, that means it is our own cause that is now manifesting in front of us. And so then let the causes express. So by from the effect, you can recognize the cause and then keep the effect separate, accept the mistake, see the nimit as flawless, and nimit means the evidentiary instrument as flawless in front of you. And without this approach, there is no liberation. Know, my friends, that there is no liberation without this approach. I understand the gross very easily, however, but in many times in thoughts also, Deepak Bhai, why us wonder, why am I having these thoughts? Why am I having these thoughts? Now the question, no, says Deepak Bhai. Why do you, is the question mark is the intellect. Why do you, instead, why don't you say, who is getting these thoughts? It is Bharat who is getting these thoughts. I am not getting these thoughts. You say, why do you even question the thoughts? Why do you worry about the thoughts? Yes, if you get a lot of thoughts of a particular nature, say sexuality, then note them down. Know that that is the junk. Supposing when 35 children, and you see, you know, when the bell rings in the evening and the school is off, all 50 children rush out of the window, but you can't see which child it is. But slowly, then slowly, because it is a sudden eruption of the kashai within you. But then take a little notebook. Notebook is very important. I had these thoughts. What is wrong with it? What is the underlying junk behind it? Then you can say gross circumstances, subtle circumstances, and circumstances are the speech, are of the non-self, and I am the absolute knower and seer of it, and absolutely immiscible, pure, absolute soul. And therefore, if you see, and the moment you come back to this sentence of the Charanvidhi, then those things, those external vibrations will stop. But when they arose, if you do not look at them, then they will die away, and you lost the opportunity to see it. Recognize who got those thoughts. Christoph got those thoughts. Are you Christoph? No. It is the ego of the Christoph that says that I got those. Why am I having such thoughts? Then converse with Nada and said, are you getting the thoughts, or the thoughts are happening to you? Are you thinking them, or the thoughts are happening? Why are they happening? Look at them at that time. And that time you cannot say, this is happening to me, I am the knower. And the third level is very good. If Nada is giving advice to somebody, you should tell Nada, Nada, why are you giving advice? Why don't you mind your own business? You know, why are you giving unnecessary advice? He has not asked for the. In other words, do not become the advice giver or the advice taker. Somebody is giving you advice, you do not like it, you start rejecting it. Just be aware of the one who is receiving the advice and giving the advice. Keep that. So the biggest reason why the thoughts go into a major storm is because you see, do you remember? You have a horn, remember, with a rubber horn? If you press it too hard, it is a big noise. But if you just press it slowly, less noise will come out. This is the nature of the ego. When the ego is under major pressure, it will really squeeze the horn very hard. But if the first step is to separate Michael from this horn, and so when you separate the Michael, when you become separate from Michael, then 50 to 80% of the force will go away. Then the Michael's force will not be there. But because you become Michael, the force of the horn is very high. How dare you tell me that? Yes, instead of saying, hey Michael, take it easy my friend, what are you saying? And so the next time Michael will say, oh please, will you not tell me that? So there is already a change only. And so the mind is totally separate, but you are catching the middle one. The intellect is separate, the speech is of the non-self complex, but the middle one says, this all belongs to me, I am saying, I am thinking, I am doing this thing. And so what happens is that you become the middleman, and the middleman enters into the peripheral body, and it all becomes a mess. But if you keep that separation of the peripheral body with the speech and the physical actions and what is going on in the mind, and the middleman is the one who is now the aware aware one who says, is this right or this is not right? And the awakened one who says, this is relative and the real, and you are the absolutely awakened one, that I'm the pure one. And so therefore, then you have the ability to quickly take up and talk to the middleman and say, hey, why are you doing this? This is wrong. Move over on this side. Come on this side. This is gnan. This is relative. This is real, etc. And don't get into it, these things. So you need to come back to your original self only. And you're but if you stand on the border of Pakistan and Hindustan in the India, then if you know the border, then if you make a very clear-cut line of distinction between it, then you have no war with anybody. Okay, let us stop now. This is the end of the satsang here, around 9 o'clock. Jai Sachidanand. For the people in our group, please. We are going to be meeting with Pujya Deepak Bhai at 11:15. Let's 11:15. We all meet in the clubhouse 11:15, and from there we go to the spell. Okay. I said the intellect is such a culprit. It is so crafty and it's so cunning. It will slowly move away and from this very beautiful blissful self into the worldly entanglements of the likes, and moving into the towards the likes and moving away from the dislikes. So there now you have to become like a water buffalo. The water buffalo takes up everything, whatever it has been listened to here, swallows it up, and then it regurgitates from its once original stomach, main stomach, into the smaller stomach, where it comes out, chews it, and then it goes and then really absorbs it correctly as it is meant to be. Let us do the vidhi. They're doing the vidhi with somebody on the phone too, maybe Deepak Bhai. Yes, I understood that I'm on the speaker. People from the other places are now with Deepak Bhai also, as little satsangs. And these are people from Bhuj people. How many people have gotten there? About exact, he says 50 to 100. Give me the exact number, says Deepak Bhai. I need exact number, not 50 to 100. 50 to 100, Lord Simandar, today, yes, at Dada Darshan, sorry, the people, this is on the banks of Sabarmati River here in Ahmedabad. This is the 10th anniversary, nine years are over, 10 years are over, one decade is over, the new millennium has been 11th, we were there on the night of the evening of the new millennium, 10, and you see the Lord had come, taken place there on the, you know, this is the one you see on the VCD on top of the, on the five-story building, and so this is the king, and his eyes is like the emperor, he looks everywhere, and you can see the improvement, and so his vibrations are going all over Ahmedabad city. Today I think they are going to do prakshal over there in the board. Alicia will tell you more about it. They've already done the washing ceremony this morning. They've finished it. They've done the vidhi. Did you do the aarti? Have you done the aarti? Okay, let us do vidhi so that we can remain in the pure soul only, that remain in the five agnas, and with love with everybody, just with pure love with everybody. Yes, Sachidananda. So prem means love, means even if somebody insults you, somebody scorns you, somebody accuses you, don't return in the same coin, and not to see the fault of anybody. That is love. And if you want, and then if you need a higher definition of love, read the beautiful book of love by Dada Shri. That's it. And then you can become the embodiment of love, and you can become like Niruma. And yes, you know, so whether he is nice to me or not is immaterial. There is no sense of separation from that person, not seeing any faults with that person, no sense of divisiveness with this, no condition with that person. It is unconditional. Love, by its definition, is unconditional. Whether you treat me good or you treat me bad, it really doesn't matter. In 6th Haftavani, Dada Shri has said, let go of the reins. Let go of the reins. The speech is nice. It's only a tape record. Everybody's speech was taped in the last life, and it is unfolding in this life as more speech. What is there to get excited about? Become the embodiment of love. If somebody somebody insults you, then when he meet him again, you should feel like he's my own self that is coming. He may have insulted you, he may have scorned you, he may have told you something that you do not like, but you meet him after an hour, there is no sense of separation from him. Then it is constant. It's not, love means being constant. There is not like yo-yo or roller coaster ride of I like you, I hate you, I like you or hate you. None of that. So that is the Purusharth. And will you be able to remain in that kind of love? That is the ultimate. Prem Swarup, the embodiment of love, is you come to that level when you remain in the five agnas of Dada Shri. Let us do it. Or say, Machu Shuddhatma, Machu Shuddhatma. Say it, I'm pure soul. Shuddhatma, Machu Shuddhatma, Shuddhatma, Machu Shuddhatma. Visualize your forehead at the toe of the Gnani. Machu Shuddhatma, 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 Jai Sachidanand, Jai Sachidanand, Jai Sachidanand, Jai Sachidanand. Raise your hand. Teya, would you go near the door? All of you new people, just go occupy space. Today, let me announce this. So, let us all do the special bhakti tonight. Alicia will tell you more about it. 10 to midnight in the temple upstairs. 10 to midnight, temple upstairs. The coupons. In the maintenance. Just get your pass now. Okay, so they got the announcements. Please go to that door, occupy nice, go over there, and stand here. Take off here, you can leave your things here. Good, so you can get close darshan of Deepak Bhai. Be there, touch his feet. Yeah. Yes, go. Close, all right. Yes. Yeah, Teya. That's her name is Teya. Teya, T-E-Y-A. Yes. Yes. So the special place is near the door as he comes out. Okay. Okay.